Open up to Luke chapter 8. This is the 8:30 class, and as I've had this lesson written now for a few days, and he keeps just tweaking a good word, you know, refining might be a better word. And I even did some more this morning. And I was preparing to teach. I knew the basic scriptures of the lesson. And it was like when I back up and include this, okay, that's going to be a lot of scripture. I know. Well, then back up and include this too. I said, well, that's even more scripture. I know. Well, what do you think? You're the 8:30 class. You know, you're hungry, you know. So I'm going to start where he started, and that's back in Luke chapter 8. We're really going to begin in Luke 19. Now, we're not going to do all the verses in between there, unless he says so. But anyway, so Luke chapter 8, this is Luke's account of the so is the word. You know, we normally teach it from Mark 4. Matthew has an account of it. Luke has an account of it. And each one of the writers brings out flavors that, you know, they're all great, but you need all of them to get all of the flavor, all of the juice out of the meal here that the Lord is serving. So let's just read Luke's account, starting in chapter 8, verse 9. His disciple, and it's the sower sows the word. He just got through speaking the parable. The sower sows the word. Verse 9, his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. We should just stop right there and worship. Unto us has been given the privilege, the honor, to know the mysteries of God. Paul said of himself, I have been made a steward of the mysteries. Glory to God. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Now, that can be taken both ways, and both ways are right. I'm holding up my Bible for those that can only hear me and not see the video. I'm holding up my Bible. Is this the word of God? Absolutely, it is the word of God. But in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And in the Greek, no, not one single thing. Hallelujah. So it is the written Word, spoken, delivered, however it's delivered to you. But it's Christ who is the Word. And He's the one that gets sown in our hearts. Okay? But now He says, the parable is this, verse 11, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside, and he's talking about different kinds of ground, different people that hear the word. All these different kinds of ground, all these different types of people heard the word. Okay? So these are by the wayside, are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, they receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Boy, now notice, and bring no fruit to perfection. No fruit means no fruit. You got that? Say zero. No fruit means zero fruit. Got that? That's important for later. Verse 15. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, boy, if you underline, keep it. In our words today, in English today, we would say they do it. Not just put it up on a shelf and keep it in the house. they do it. And bring forth, now notice, fruit with patience. That word patience is not exactly the same as our English word patience today. The better word for it in modern English is endurance. And there's the endurance prophecy out there on the foyer every time you come in. The very first prophetic word that God ever spoke. We're in Luke chapter 8. And we've got people coming in. Glory to God. Let's read verse 15 again. Because this is the only ground. See, there's lots of different ground here. And all of the ground heard the word. All the different kinds of people heard the word. But only one kind of ground brought forth any fruit at all. These other three brought forth no fruit. That's zero fruit. None. Okay? But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with endurance. If anything happens instantaneously, is there any endurance required to make it happen? Just a thought. That's not today's lesson. Now come on over to Luke 13. Now I want you to remember, the word here is the written word of God, but ultimately it is the word of God. And that's Jesus himself. All of this is pointing to Christ in you. Okay? The hope of glory. But it does apply to the word. He is the word. You're not going to separate Christ from the word. He is the word. Okay, so Luke 13, starting in verse 18. So what is it like? Okay, I'm just going to assume that everybody in the sound of my voice and everybody listening or watching by internet, you are good ground. Will you agree with me? Okay, everybody's agreeing. Nobody's saying I'm bad ground. I'm good ground, okay? Well, then what's the kingdom like? So we're the ones that hear the word and keep the word. So what is it like? Well, verse 18 of Luke 13. Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? What shall I compare it to? It is like a grain of a mustard seed. Now that applies to both the written word and the word, Christ himself. Okay? It is like, this is Jesus telling what the kingdom is like. You hear the word. You'll see in a minute, you can receive the word, Christ himself. When that happens, it's like a grain of mustard seed. Now, you don't get to rewrite the Bible. This is, Jesus said, this is how it works, and this is how it works. Okay? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden. You are the garden. At one point to the Corinthians, Paul said, you are God's husbandry. That means you are God's garden. Okay? Which a man took and cast into his garden, and it what? And it grew. That's the written word. That is Christ the Word. And it grew and waxed a great tree. Well, I guarantee you, Christ will take over your life. You'll become a great tree now. It's him in you. And the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, he gave another one, easy to understand. Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? He's still talking about the word, the written word, Christ the word. It is like leaven, which a woman took. Leaven, you know what? Today, wouldn't we say yeast? It's like yeast. Which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Don't you find it interesting he didn't say 5 measures? Don't you find it interesting he didn't say 2 measures? There's a reason he says everything that he says. Why 3 measures? Could it be spirit, soul, and body? Of course, the new birth. When Christ is sown into you, Of course, that first starts in your spirit. Your spirit is the one he joins with. You are a new creature. Christ, literally, the spirit. If any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So Christ literally joins with you. You become a new creature. It's hard for us to even understand this. But that begins in the spirit. The leaven has the yeast, the change, the growth. It begins in your spirit. Then it's got to work through your understanding. That's the soul. But eventually, if you're going to become a doer, eventually it's got to show up on your limbs. It's going to change your life. In plain English, we call that repentance. All right? So he gave these examples. Now let's look at all of this. I'm telling you, Zacchaeus is becoming one of my favorite people in the Bible. Now turn to Luke 19 now. And we'll read this. I like Zacchaeus. He's a short guy. Hallelujah. Luke 19:1. Every time I read that, can you by thought add one cubit to your stature? Trust me, I've tried. It doesn't work. Anyway. Luke 19:1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He wasn't just a publican, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. Now, publicans were despised. These were Jews who were employed by the Romans to gather taxes from their fellow Jews. And most of them, if you'll allow me, had their thumb on the scale. Later on, we can see some of what's been going on by how Zacchaeus repents. Okay? You'll find out here in a little bit. But he was rich. Well, I don't doubt that. Now, verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus. Now, notice who he was. Now, that tells me Zacchaeus has never heard Jesus. Doesn't know what he looks like. He's probably heard about him. Otherwise, he wouldn't be wondering. Okay? But it's secondhand so far. He's never seen him. I wonder who this Jesus is. Now that word sought is so important because it's a variation on a word that Jesus used many times in his teaching. I'm not going to go there today. To everyone that asks, they receive. To everyone that seeks, they find. To everyone that knocks, the door is open. Well, that word seek, this is a variation of that same word, same Greek word, sought. Can I say it this way? Zacchaeus is a seeker. And he wants to know who Jesus is. And he's a short guy. Oh, anyway, we haven't got to that. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. That's so important. Paul, after serving the Lord for decades, still his quest, his overriding thought was, I want to know him. I want to know him. I don't think there's an end to knowing him, really. We read last week, John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos, when he had that revelation. Now here's John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that walked with Jesus. If anybody had Christ in him, it's John. And he's lived for decades in fellowship with Jesus. Yet when he saw Jesus as he is, we read it there in hair white as snow and eyes like a flaming fire and all of that. John fell as one dead. We need to know him. Well, Zacchaeus is a seeker. He sought to know Jesus. Excuse me. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. I like this guy. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, did you ever notice this? Jesus calls him by name, yet these two have never met. See, Zacchaeus didn't know who Jesus was. Jesus sure knew who Zacchaeus was. Somebody sent me one of those memes off of Facebook somewhere, and it says, when God called you into the ministry, He already factored in your stupidity. Most comforting thing I've ever heard in my life. He knew Gary before He called Gary. So, hallelujah. Anyway. So Jesus said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, to abide at the house means he's got to come in the house. And he made haste, Zacchaeus, he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, this throng that had been traveling with Jesus, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. You could almost hear the disdain. This man's a sinner. And Jesus went into his house. Well, if Jesus doesn't go into the house of sinners, nobody ever gets saved. That's for sure. And Zacchaeus stood. Okay, yes, sir. I'm just going to read it first, then we'll come back. Zacchaeus stood. Now, I want you to get the picture. Zacchaeus came down out of the tree. The procession now has changed. All these people traveling with Jesus. I don't know how far it is to Zacchaeus' house, 2 blocks that way, 3 blocks over there. I don't know where it is. But the direction of everybody's life changed because we're going to Zacchaeus' house. So anyway, everybody comes and they watch Jesus go in the house of this sinner. Boy, this is not a type of the new birth. Now what? Watch this. Jesus goes in the house with him. And religion can't understand that. See? So there's some kind of conversation. I need to tell you this part. We'll come to it again in the notes. This meal that they're having is not a brunch. This meal, and I'll show you from Scripture in a minute, this meal is the main meal of the day, meaning the evening meal. So this is one where you sit down, you fellowship while the meal's being served, you fellowship while the meal's being eaten. There's what I want to, you know, understand, this is not a snack, this is not a drive through the Burger King. They've got time for the main meal of the day where they can talk and fellowship. So can you get the picture? Now, it's wonderful to me that we don't have the words that Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus while he was in his house. And aren't you glad? None of us know the words that Jesus speaks to you when he comes into your house. Now, you can tell it later if you want to. Me and Homer, we're pretty open about everything that happened with us, you know. But aren't you glad that's up to you? No, we don't really know, but we can tell by the fruit. Now, remember fruit? We read earlier, bring fruit to perfection. Okay. So, after a little while of this conversation, now what's going on during that time? Zacchaeus is hearing the word. Let's say it this way. Jesus has come in the house. And he's talking with Zacchaeus. It's probably two-way, but I've got a feeling Jesus talked more than Zacchaeus did. Now we can tell the fruit because after a little while, Zacchaeus, and the only way to know this, Zacchaeus had to come to the door or nobody would have heard it to record it. This had to, somehow he had to say this publicly. Otherwise, we wouldn't know what he said. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord. Now here's repentance. Behold, Lord. Based on this, you can tell what Jesus was talking to him about. The half of my goods I give to the poor. Now, this is a rich man. Let's just say for talking's sake, he's got $4 billion. And he says, I'm giving $2 billion away today. $2 billion. Would you call that repentance? That's a fair repentance right there. Rich man. He's heard the word and he's keeping it. Okay. And that's not all. And I just love this. If Not just if. I have taken anything from any man by false accusation. Well, that's the reason they hated the publicans. They had their thumb on the scales. They were, I'm collecting taxes for Rome and a little bit of your stuff for me. They did it by false accusation. But he's still repenting. He said, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And if we had time, we'd go back into the Old Testament. That's exactly what the law said to do, by the way. And Jesus said unto him, now notice, Jesus says this after Zacchaeus repents. He doesn't say it before. He says it after. This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So would you say Zacchaeus was lost? Absolutely. Now, I got to stay here with my notes for a while. So notice how Jesus says that. This day, salvation is come to this house. And Jesus called Zacchaeus a son of Abraham. But now, wait a minute. Zacchaeus was born a Jew. Zacchaeus has always been a physical descendant of Abraham. That's not what that can't be what he's talking about. Because Zacchaeus was born of the physical seed of Abraham his whole life. Yet Jesus says, well, that's not what saved you. No, this day, salvation has come to this house. The salvation Jesus speaks of has nothing to do with being physically born of Abraham. It is important to remember why Abraham was accounted as being righteous. You can look this up later. Romans 4:3 says, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham was not a hearer only. Every time God spoke to him, he believed God and he acted according to what God had told him. Now, to me, this is important, and I could take you there and show you. Abraham did not always obey immediately, and Abraham did not always obey perfectly. But Abraham believed God's word, and he would repent, or let's say it a different way, he would change his course based on whatever God said to him. And that's what God says. He says, because you believed me and acted on what I told you, I count that to you for righteousness. Well, now, Jesus is calling Zacchaeus a son of Abraham, not because he's physically descended from Abraham, but because he's doing like Abraham did. Jesus has come in the house. Jesus, the Word, has come in the house. He's been talking with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus heard the word. He believed what he heard, and he acted on what he heard by repenting. This is what makes him a son of Abraham. He's acting the same way Abraham did. He heard the word and did it. And it's so important. Jesus did not say salvation has come to this house when he entered the house. Jesus did not say salvation has come to this house because Zacchaeus heard the word. Jesus said salvation has come to this house when Zacchaeus acted on the word. Modern language, when he repented. Okay? The title of today's message, there is no salvation until repentance. The seed might have been sown. You might have sat in church for 20 years. But if you've never yielded to the word, even if you've asked Christ to come inside, see? And we are supposed to sow the seed. One sows, another waters. God gives the increase. Jesus can come in the house, be talking to you. But if you never repent, yes, sir. Back up. Yes, sir. Back up to Luke 13 again, where we were a while ago. where he gave the examples of what's the kingdom like. Let's take the leaven again. A woman takes this unleavened bread and she adds something that was not there before. In the Bible, it's called leaven. Today, we would say you put the yeast in. But at that moment, the whole bread, the dough, is not leavened. You got to, does women, not an old-fashioned way, not with a mixer like you have today. How did your grandmother do it? Folding and folding and kneading and pressing, and how many feels like God's done that to them? Anyway, folding and kneading and pressing, and you got to work it all the way through. You don't want your bread to come out one side yeasty and the other side flat, like, you know. You want it all the way through, don't you? That's what he said. The kingdom of God is like that. It begins in the spirit, but it's got to work through your soul, and eventually it's got to come. And it doesn't take 20 years. How long did it take Zacchaeus? Not very long. Mealtime. However long the meal was. But it's a process, too. We'll get to that in a minute. He said, back up here, because you got to see this. So we read those examples about the kingdom of God being like a grain of seed, a mustard seed, and a woman working it through the leaven. But come on, let's just pick it up in verse 22. We stopped in 21. And he went through cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, now this is Luke's account from the Sermon on the Mount, or maybe the Sermon on the Plain, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. See, right now in this dispensation, salvation is offered to every man. If you knock, the door will be open. But the day is coming. The day is coming when that door will be shut. For some people, it gets shut when they die. There is no salvation beyond the grave. But for those, even those living, there's coming a day when the door will be shut. And they're going to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not, whence you are. Then you shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Thou hast taught in our streets. Oh, my Lord, I didn't see this till just this minute. What if Zacchaeus had not repented? Lord, you came into my house. We ate together. We fellowship. You were in my house. What do you mean you don't know me? You were in my house. I heard you speak. You've taught in our streets. Thank God Zacchaeus repented. But these that he's talking to here, they all heard the word. But they did not repent. And he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And that would include Zacchaeus if he hadn't have repented. It wasn't a one-time thing. I believe Zacchaeus probably became the most honest publican in Israel. I mean, the Lord straightened him out like he straightens you out, straightens me out. See? Zacchaeus acted on the word that he heard, and only then did Jesus say, salvation has come to this house. Salvation had come to Zacchaeus' house because it was being built upon the rock. What did he say? Is the rock of doing my sayings. You don't have to turn there. If we backed up farther, we'd go to Luke 6, verse 46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. Could I say like Zacchaeus did? Like Zacchaeus did? He heard the word and he did it. The Lord's on the inside. He comes on the inside, if you ask him, on the inside of any man. But when he comes in, he's come to cleanse the temple. He's the word. I like to say there's a new sheriff in town. And he's come to be Lord, not your buddy. Amen? Remember who he is from Revelations chapter 1 and 2 there now. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, like Zacchaeus. I'm going to add like Zacchaeus. I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. The way I grew up, they would have always said, and that rock is Jesus. And that's close, but it's not really true. No, that rock is doing his sayings. Not a hearer only. That's what he's talking about. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Well, Zacchaeus did what he heard the Lord say. But he that heareth and doeth not, and that could have been Zacchaeus. Boy, I'm glad Zacchaeus is not going to hear, depart from me, I don't know you. I'm glad he's not going to hear that. I don't want to hear that either. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I'm going to say it again. Jesus did not say salvation had come to that house before Zacchaeus repented. I'll say it another way. Before Zacchaeus became a doer of what he heard Jesus say. Zacchaeus basically had knocked on the door, if you'll allow me. He was a seeker by climbing up in that tree to see who Jesus was. Jesus responded by saying he needed to come into Zacchaeus' house. Well, he needs to come into every sinner's house. That's why we evangelize. Zacchaeus gladly received Jesus into his house. Now, this next verse that I'm going to read out of Revelations, in the context, is Jesus talking to backslidden churches. Okay? But now let me read the verse. And it's Revelations 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, again, in the context, that's right at the end of the Jesus giving the final warning, if you'll allow me, to the seven churches that listed there in Revelation. And it's not just to them, it's to us as well. But that's another lesson. It's true. He's basically, Jesus is given an image. Okay, you're having church and I'm locked outside. Because you're not doing what I say. I am not, in this case, Jesus is knocking at their door. Can you imagine Jesus knocking at the church door? I heard a joke one time. A wino was leaned up against the outside of the church there. Jesus walks up, says, Why are you out here? Church is going on. Say, well, they won't let me in. Jesus says, don't worry, they won't let me in either. Well, that is the image. And in Revelations, really in context, it's talking about Jesus being locked out of there. We're going to have church without you. Oh, my goodness. But see, look how it's worded. I didn't have you turn to it, but it says, he does say, if any man hear my voice. If any man hear my voice. Did Zacchaeus hear his voice when he's up in the tree? Sure he did. And open the door. Did Zacchaeus open the door? I will come into him. Did Jesus go in? And will sup with him. Now that word sup, if you look it up, so Zacchaeus opened the door to his house and Jesus came in and supped with him. S-U-P-P-E-D. The Greek word translated sup is Strong's G-1172, and it means to partake of the principal meal of the day. Not breakfast, not brunch, not lunch. In that culture at that time, that was the evening meal. The Greek word depicts a meal of substance during which there is much time for conversation and fellowship. So during that time of fellowship, Zacchaeus heard Jesus speak. Now see, all of the ground, we went back to Luke's account of the sower sows the word. All of the ground heard the word, if you'll allow me. The word had come inside all of them. But only in one kind of ground was there any fruit at all, meaning repentance, change. During that time of fellowship, Zacchaeus heard Jesus speak. Or you could say it this way, the word was sown in Zacchaeus' heart. Or you could say it this way, Zacchaeus was sitting there listening to the sayings of Jesus. He heard it, right? But the question is, would Zacchaeus become a doer of the word he heard or not? If he repented and did the word that he heard, then he was acting the same way Abraham did, and salvation had come to his house. And he would be building his house on doing the sayings of Christ. God, what a perfect illustration this is. Now, Zacchaeus was not born again. Jesus wasn't saying that. He said salvation. But it's the Old Testament salvation, the type and shadow pointing to the day when we could literally be born again. Zacchaeus could only come into Zacchaeus's physical house. But when you get born again, he comes into you. You are the house. You are the temple of God. And he comes in to cleanse the temple. And that's exactly what he's doing there with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus's big thing was greed and desiring to be rich and willing to do criminal things in order to be rich. Jesus, he always goes right for the jugular. All right, I'm getting ahead of my notes a little bit here. Now, Zacchaeus was not born again because the new birth was not yet made available until after the resurrection of Christ from the dead. We all know that. But see, this is Old Testament salvation, which is a type and a shadow of what the new birth would be like. But get this straight. There is no salvation without yielding to Christ in you. Christ is the seed sown into your heart at the new birth. He begins fellowshipping with you immediately. He did with me. I remember those first few weeks, man. I mean, pornography's got to go. This alcohol's got to go. The cussing's got to go. Going to the bars has got to go. Living your life for money, Gary, has got to go. That's not following me. And all. You got to forgive these people. I don't want to forgive these people. You got to forgive these people. I don't know how to forgive these people. I mean, he taught me how to do it. And I yielded. So he begins fellowshipping with you immediately, and he begins cleansing the temple. And see, it's really up to you. You are the ground. You're the ground where the seed is sown. Whether you will do what you hear is completely your choice. God does not take away your free will. If you do what you hear, now you are bearing the, quote, fruit of repentance. And salvation has come to your house. If you do not repent, and if you remain unfruitful, you remain unsaved. That's what happened to three of the four kinds of ground. They all hurt. Three of the grounds produced no fruit, which means zero fruit, which means no life. And it's so important to remember, Jesus did not say salvation had come to Zacchaeus' house until after Zacchaeus repented and did the word that he heard. This means in Mark chapter 4, in the parable of the sower that we're all so familiar with, none of the people were saved just because the word was sown in their hearts. See, this isn't in my notes, but this is part of the message that's in me right now. I fear for major portions of the church. Say this little prayer, fire insurance. I'm all about getting people to pray, all right. They need to receive Jesus, all right. But somehow, I think it's more than salvation involves repentance. People need to know that. Be careful evangelizing with a watered-down gospel that is not the one that Jesus taught. Now, we're supposed to sow the word. Yes, you sow the word, okay? And you know, I guess a pure evangelist would say, my job is to go sow. Well, Jesus did too. He sowed everywhere that he went. But don't give them a false promise of saying, you will not go to hell just if you say this prayer. Now, if you say this prayer, what you're doing is opening the door and Christ will come in. But then you got to obey him or you're not saved, honey. Sorry. I'm going to read this paragraph again. We're doing really pretty good. This means in Mark chapter 4 in the parable of the sower, none of the people were saved just because the word was sown in their hearts. Didn't the seed go into all the ground? The seed went into the ground on all of them. But just because they heard it, that didn't cause them to bear fruit. What does that mean? It did not change them. They did not become doers of the word. There was no fruit of repentance in them. Only in the good ground. Now get this part. This is helpful. You'll like this. Only in the good ground was there any fruit at all. And even then it wasn't like 100% day you got saved, boom. No, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And if you want to look that up, it's Luke 8:15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word and keep it, they do it, they bring forth fruit with patience, endurance. It's okay, it's one thing to quit cheating for a week. I'm thinking about Zacchaeus and how he was had his thumb on the scale, how he was doing his business in a dishonest way. That might have worked real well till the next tax time for him. And his income is diminished by God knows how much. Now, endurance. Gee, maybe, man, I'm getting poor now. I'm not getting richer. I'm getting poor. Maybe I should, Are you going to endure to do the right thing the second year, the third year, the fourth year? Bring forth fruit with endurance. Okay. The church is full of people. I hate to say that. I don't mean this church. I mean the church at large, worldwide, is full of people who have heard the word of God but not repented. The seed has been sown, but salvation does not come just because they have heard the word of God and even if they prayed a little prayer 25 years ago. Salvation comes when they repent and do what the Word of God says. Now, since the Holy Spirit works with the Word that has been sown, there is little doubt in my mind that the Holy Spirit works with people who are struggling with repentance from all sorts of things, trying to bring them to the place of repentance. It's important to remember that Jesus called good ground, whether it's 30, 60, or 100-fold. Didn't he call that good ground? So the question is, well, how much repentance is required before salvation occurs? And I'm talking born again. Okay. Well, how much repentance is required? Let me just ask you the question. What do you think now? You reckon Zacchaeus was a perfect man? After that one incident of repentance? You think he was a perfect man? Fully 100-fold right then? No. Without doubt, there was much more pruning to come. Did not Jesus say, we're abiding in the vine, and you're bearing fruit, but my Father, because He loves you, He's going to prune you. Why? So that you bear even more fruit. It's a process. Okay? So without doubt, there was much more pruning to come, but see, the principle was established. Zacchaeus was a man who would hear the word and do it. Let me say it a different way. Zacchaeus was a man who would hear Jesus in the house and do what he said. Now there's that salvation. That here the word comes in you, you hear him, and you act on what he says. At first with most people, it's repentance because we all start off sinners. Some are just more stuff than others. Different stuff than others, you know. Zacchaeus, apparently his main thing was greed, okay? But the principle had started. And as long as he kept on that path of hearing and repenting and doing the word of God, he was on that path of transformation and no doubt would enter the kingdom of God on that day. So now what about you? What about Gary? Let's talk about Gary. I can't remember his name now, but a friend of Pastor Dave's that used to preach together in Oregon, way back in the early days. He was here once and preaching. He was funny too. Him and Dave, I'd love to have been in on some of those conversations. I bet they were funny. But anyway, one day he was preaching right here. He said, one day I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, y'all, some of you were here, on that maturity, if there was a thermometer in the back and it went from 0 to 100 and 100 represents full transformation to your image. Lord, I've been at this a while. Me and Pastor Dave, we've traveled all over Oregon and in Washington State. We've cast out devils. We've healed the sick. We've evangelized. Lord, but where do you think I am on that scale? He said, I was thinking, 30, 60, 100, maybe 75. He said, a light started flashing about 2 inches off the floor. Tim McFall, that was his name. Tim McFall. And the guy was hilarious. But he said, I'm sorry I asked. I don't even want to ask him where Gary is. I don't even want to ask. But I thank God I've been accepted. See, that's the thing. If you're a doer of the word, you're not resisting him. This is what Dave would tell us. God will walk through hell with you while you're learning and understanding and growing. He'll walk through. Jesus didn't come in the house to reject you. He came in to save you. And the whole idea is, if you'll listen to him, you'll get saved too. Amen. But it's 30, 60, 100 fold, but he accepts the 30. But see, at this church, you're not here because you want a 30 fold walk. And I'm going to throw this in. Well, I think I did right here at the end anyway. I'll just read. Hang on. Let's see what I wrote. You got 10 minutes? Oh, my God. Okay. I don't know whether I'm 2 inches off the floor on that scale. 30-fold. 30-fold. 60-fold. I don't know where I am. See, but virtually every Christian that I've ever known, a real Christian, will tell you. They can tell you stories of how when they first got saved, how Jesus come in to clean the house. And it's different things with different people. But they'll tell you, if you take them out to lunch, they'd say, tell me about when you got saved. How did your life change? Boy. They can all tell you stories. And if they can't, there's a problem. Okay? But I've also, those same Christians, if they're honest and transparent, and treat you like you're a friend, if you keep talking with them, they'll also tell you Christ is still dealing with them about stuff. Yes. See, and this is part of why the Holy Spirit, he makes intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered, because we don't know a lot of times what to pray. I mean, you'll think you're just fine. I'm fine. Now, all the rest of us know you're not. And your wife or husband for sure knows you're not, But you think, no, I don't have any strongholds. I'm good. With the Holy Ghost, man, you keep praying in the Holy Ghost. He knows what's in there. I love how Dave would teach it. Dave would say, you start praying in other tongues. And the Holy Spirit, he began searching all the inward parts, You remember how he would say it? All of a sudden you're praying in tongues. And it's like the attic. There's a trap door to the attic of your brain. And all of a sudden that door is open and there's a flashlight shining in there. And you say, oh my God. And you see stuff in you that we all saw a long time ago. Now it could be not really sin stuff at this point. It could be pride. It could be arrogance. It could be just, self, just pettiness. Things, I don't know what it is. It could be worse. But whatever. He starts, and the tendency is just to drop out of prayer. Because without saying it, you're saying, look at all the dirt that this light brought. No. The whole point is the dirt was already there. But praying in the Holy Spirit, you don't even know what's wrong with you. You don't even know the things. But you pray in the Holy Ghost, he will make intercession for you according to the will of God. And he'll search every chamber of your heart. But here's the thing. Once you see it. Now, the word has come. Now, are you going to deal with it? I'm going to use one of mine again. It's because it's so simple. Early on, now this was in the first 30 days or so, maybe 2 months. And I'm praying and reading my Bible again, and I come to that part. If you have to forgive everyone from your heart, and if you don't forgive them, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. And just immediately, I thought of these two people that I had unforgiveness in my heart. In my mind, they had hurt me, okay? And I didn't want to forgive them. But when I read that, the Holy Spirit, he said to me, you're going to have to forgive them. And I said, I don't want to forgive them. And he said, well, you're going to have to forgive them or you're not going to go very far with me. Maybe at that point my light was three quarters of an inch off the floor. I don't, you know. You're not going to go very far with me if you don't forgive them. Oh. And I got to be honest, I looked on the inside, I couldn't find anything in me. I didn't know how to forgive them. Not without being, I mean, I could say the words, but it didn't mean it in my heart. There was. I said, Lord, I don't even know how. And again, and people mock this, I don't care, it happened anyway. He said, would you be willing to be made willing? Yeah, would you be willing to be made willing to forgive them? My engineering brain had to think on that a minute. I'm not willing right now, but if I could be made willing to be willing, then I guess I would be. Yes, Lord, that will work. I don't know how, but I'm willing to be made willing. How would that work? And here he comes again, just the most simple. Jesus, it makes me want to cry. He stooped so low. He got down on one knee with little Gary. And he says, every time you think of him, just ask me to bless him. That's all he asked me to do. Dear Lord, that's pretty simple. And so, you ever try not to think about somebody? I thought of him immediately. Lord, I'm asking you to bless him. And because I didn't want to be a hypocrite. I knew I didn't want him to bless him. Not in my soul, anyway. I said, Lord, I thought of him. I'm obeying you. I'm asking you to bless him. And you know I don't mean it. I didn't want him, you know, I didn't want to be like a hypocrite. Man, when you try not to think about something, you think about it all the time. I just kept thinking of him. And over the course of a few days, it really wasn't very long, I noticed as I would say, Lord, I'm asking you to bless him. Pretty soon that dropped off, and you know I don't mean it. And I kept doing it. Every time I'd think of him, Lord, I'm asking you to bless him. Somehow in that process, my heart began to soften. And another thing, talk about dirt in the attic. He began showing me my part in that whole thing. Where before I thought I was the innocent lamb, they were the devil with the pitchfork. But by the time he got through with me, I was the devil with the pitchfork. And I was more worried about praying for me than I was for them. Now see, that's what I'm talking about. I don't know that I ever, ever, ever would have seen that without yielding to his instructions, praying in the Holy Ghost and allowing him. But I'm telling you, finally the day came when I said, Lord, I forgive them. And I mean, it was in my heart. And everything left. We live three blocks away from them today, to this very day. If I'm on a trip somewhere, if I'm gone, and something happens at my mother's house that needs fixing, he's the guy that goes and fixes it. I mean, it's amazing. And there's now we all have the memories of all that. I you know, God has ability apparently to forget. I haven't found that. I remember, but it's like a movie I saw. There's no emotion with it anymore. It's like, okay, yeah, I saw that movie, but that didn't happen to me. And it's like that. And man, I mean, it's real. Oh, anyway, I hope that's an illustration that works for you guys. But in every area of life, I don't know how to stop. Well, he'll tell you. And sometimes I've just got to tell you, like, okay, I'll go ahead and do the other one. Sometimes he gets a little, you know, okay. He had me quit cigarettes cold turkey. Now, I never smoked another one after that event. And I'm not going to go, I got 2 minutes. So I never smoked another one after that event. The withdrawals were awful. And I did use lozenges to help me with the nicotine withdrawals for, I don't know, 6 months or so. I followed the program, you know, start with the strong ones, go to the next ones, go to the next ones down. But thank God it worked. He didn't rebuke me for doing that. And now it's been many, 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 many years. I can't even believe I ever did it now. So He'll work with you. He'll help you. He'll give you instruction. But you have to be a doer. You can't just hear. You have to be a doer. Okay, let me finish up. I've got just a few minutes. So I wrote here, what about you? And I'm not just those here, but I'm talking with all of you that are listening and watching by internet. Where are you walking with the Lord? None of us want to stay 2 inches off the floor. I don't even want to say 30-fold, 60-fold. I want that 100-fold. Now, Paul himself, this is a good prayer before I even get to Paul. I want to give you some scriptures. I'm just going to read them to you, and then you can look them up later. One of them is Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. And whether you know it or not, when you give time to praying in the Holy Ghost, you are, in a way, praying this prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Glory to God. Boy, that is exactly what He'll do through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Then another one is 1 Corinthians 11, verses 31 and 32. Now, this is really part of communion, but it is the self-judging part. It says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, since I'm talking to the 830 group, I'm not looking at anyone in particular on purpose, not really looking, but this group, the hungry ones, I have little doubt every person that's hearing me right now knows of something that the Lord is dealing with them about. Now, it may not be blatant sin. It may be something else. It could be all kinds of... The example... It could be as simple as the Lord teaches... He says, I want you to learn how to type. Now, nowadays, kids are born typing almost because of the internet, you know. But back in the day, not everybody learned how to type. There was a lady that I knew that the Lord dealt with for 20 years. She said, every time I'd get alone with the Lord, I always had this feeling I need to learn how to type. I never did do it. About 20 years. Finally, she says, I'm just going to learn how to type. Shortly after that, the Lord put her in ministry. Wasn't her own ministry, but He put her to work typing in a ministry. I wonder if that would have happened 20 years earlier. Can we hinder the Lord by disobedience? Oh, you know that's true. So I'm asking if we would judge ourselves, if there's anything that you already know. Of course, if it's sin, you got to deal with that. But I'm talking about other things. That is, we would not be judged. But let's say you don't deal with it. Well, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. And be glad about that. Now, He's not going to put sickness or cancer or anything like that on you. He is a spirit. You are a spirit. You get spanked in your spirit. You get a whooping. I know when I've been to the woodshed. You tell a lie and try and get away with it. Man, you're whoop, whoop, whoop. You're walking away. You turn right around right now. You correct that right this instant. Don't you try and walk away. You're getting a whooping right then. Well, that's the chastening of the Lord. And thank God for it. Hallelujah. I'm not going to read this whole passage, but just go. Another one that I had on here is Philippians, the whole chapter 3, verses 7 through 21. And I'm out of time. But let's just come to the end of it. Verse 13, brethren, or right in the middle of it. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now, this is the Apostle Paul after he's been serving Christ for decades. I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You can't fix yesterday. Okay? And reaching forth unto those things which are before. I'm telling you right now, that's revival. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark. I press. That word press is strong, man. I press. I work at it. I press. My flesh don't like it, but I still press for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many be as be perfect. That just means mature. That means the 830 crowd. If any of us be thus minded, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, wherever you have, wherever you're walking, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so you have us for an example. I thank God for the examples that we've had. I wrote down this last thing. Smith Wigglesworth, one of his favorite hymns, filled with God. I'm not going to sing it for your blessing. Filled with God. Filled with God. Emptied of self. And filled with God. That's pressing toward the mark. Amen. There is no repentance. Excuse me. There is no salvation without repentance. There is no salvation without becoming a doer of the word. There is no salvation without yielding to Christ in you. You are dismissed. We'll see you in 30 minutes.